So I'm Penny Woolcock, and I'm the director of One Mile Away. And making this film has probably been the most difficult, painful, stressful, infuriating experience of my life. But I think for most of us who think that we would like to change the world, make it a better place, to be given a chance to be part of something that has stopped young men from dying and from going to jail is also a huge privilege.
So tell me about the relationships you've had with some of the characters we see in One Mile Away, who, for us from outside, gang members. Tell us about the relationships you've had.
Well, I met most of them, actually, in 2007, the people in the film. So it's been very long-standing relationships. And initially, I met Shabba and Zimbo on the Johnson side, and they were very suspicious that I was working for the police because I was doing research for a fiction film, and I was interested in the same kind of thing that the police are interested in. And Shabba, for some reason, always trusted me. I think partly because he'd seen a film I'd made called Mischief Night, and he'd really liked it. Zimbo was convinced that I was working with the police until the film actually came out one day, and they thought, oh, she is a filmmaker, she was telling the truth. Anyway, on the Johnson side, after about, it was probably 2 or 3 months of hanging around on street corners, not really getting anywhere, people refusing to talk to me, and they're saying, what are you doing? And I say, I'm doing research for film. What is the film about? Well, I can't tell you because I need you to tell me about your life. I'm a middle-class white woman from North London. I can't write this film out of my head. So if you tell me about your life, I'll write the film. And then they would go, yeah, but what is the film? And then, you know, it was a sort of circular thing. And at a certain point, I drifted over the front line into burger territory. So I went from B6 to B21, met Dylan Duffus through his uncle, which was a very nice way to meet him because it was through a family member. And Dylan said that within 30 seconds he knew that I could be trusted. And he said to me, what do you want to know? And so I ended up making a fiction film one day on the burger side. But I stayed friendly with Shabba. And so a couple of years after that, I got a phone call.
So the film, the phone call is where you're asked to mediate a ceasefire between the two gangs. How did you feel about the responsibility or being involved?
Well, I was asked to help because I knew people on both sides, but Shabba also was very clear that we should make a film. He said we should document it because millions, literally hundreds of millions, have been spent on this gang problem to absolutely zero effect. And he said, if we get somewhere, we need to be able to prove, we need an indelible witness that we're the ones that have done it. And to be honest, when he said, because I'd always thought it was so insane that people were killing each other over postcodes, I mean, that's your address on a letter. I just seemed like such a waste of life. I just said, yes, of course. And at that moment, I thought, this is a mission, you know, and it's somehow I felt that it was going to be easier to accomplish than it turned out to be. But I was immediately enthusiastic, and I called Dylan, and Dylan agreed. And at that stage, although it seemed like a big decision, I really had no idea what I was letting myself in for.
So One Mile Away documents this journey, and it's been several years in the making.
Well, there was over a year when we were filming on and off, and a lot of the time not filming because it was too dangerous for us even to have the cameras out on the street, and people saying, we'll smash it on your head or we'll kill you or whatever. So, it, you know, a lot of the time I was thinking, I don't know what I'm doing because I'm not a conflict resolution expert. Nobody is paying me to do anything. I'm a filmmaker. I'm not really making a film. I mean, it was very confusing, kind of lonely, really bleak time. And my assistant, Bex, and I were staying in a convent. Some nuns were kindly putting us up, and we would, you know, miserably get up in the morning. We both lost our sense of humour completely. It was hard. But you always felt that somehow you were part of something really meaningful and profound. And I don't know, I just couldn't turn my back on it. And it's kind of a miracle that we managed to make the film. And even more miraculous that the young men in the film have continued and are speaking out against this really horror, actually, that's happening in all our inner cities.
So what do you hope will come of the film? The film has been out, is being shown in lots of different ways. What do you hope will come from it?
Well, mostly when I make films, whether they're fiction or documentary, you're trying to tell a story or you're trying to reflect some kind of truth, tell the best truth you can about whatever it is that you're interested in, whether it's, you know, the marginal economy, or I like to direct operas, or there's an opera about terrorism. You know, I'm trying to be as truthful as I can be. In this case, it was as if the film not only was documenting something, but it was actually changing the reality that it was documenting. And that was sort of, it was a very visceral, confusing process to be part of that I didn't feel in control of. And so, really, I felt out of my depth almost all the entire time. I just kind of had a passion for it, really, and I never felt I could turn my back. So we feel that up to now, we know, in fact, that there are many people who have been in prison. There are situations, several situations that have been avoided, that would have led to bloodshed and retaliation and prison sentences. So it's had an effect, and what we hope is that it'll be part of a movement that'll work everywhere in the country. You know, I think people seem to be kind of desperate, really, to hear from people who can do something. And what was, I think, really extraordinary about this process was that James Purnell, who was a cabinet minister at one time, who ended up sort of volunteering and producing the film, I mean, he'd been involved in politics from the top down, and this is very much politics from the bottom up, but it can't work on its own. So what's been sort of extraordinary is that you have these incredible, brave, kind of visionary men who are attempting to change their culture and their reality from the inside in an alliance with professional middle-class people. And that has been eye-opening on both sides, you know, that we can work together and I think potentially change things.
And there's the 1 mile away now social enterprise, which will be the delivery partner of this change.
That's right. So the boys have set up the 1 mile away social enterprise. They're Burgers and Johnson's working together in the same office. They've, over the last year, they've had business mentoring and they've worked with teachers to build up 3 school programs. A couple of them that are connected to the film, and they also have a mentoring program, Big Brother, Little Brother. And the idea is that they go out with the films to work with the kids who think that it's glamorous to become a criminal gangster. So we're not saying anything is wrong with being with a gang. I mean, we're all in gangs of some kind, you know. It's what's the task of that gang? And if the task of a film gang would be to deliver a film or whatever the task might be. And actually, the task of the Burgers and the Johnsons should be to kind of secure a positive future in which, I mean, there's a kind of clever gene in the hood. You know, I've never met a stupid person yet. And you know that if they were born a mile away in a leafy suburb, they could do anything they wanted, and that's what we'd like to encourage them to do.